Amen, amen. Well, grab your Bibles today. Turn to that famous song, that famous part of the scripture, the song that Jesus, the songbook that Jesus sang from, Psalm 23. That's what we're going to be studying today. I suppose, by the way, this is going to be a very, very scriptural and biblical sermon. I wrote this sermon in Thessalonica and Philippi and Athens. So, I mean, you know, Bible lands, maybe some of Paul will rub off on me on this, all right? But today we're going to wrap up this short series called Pastor's Mix, some of the three favorite psalms from David's songbook, the songbook that he used growing up. And we come to the 23rd Psalm. It's probably one of the most famous passages in all of the Bible. I mean, it's almost one of those things where you're gonna recognize it as soon as the Lord is my shepherd. You get that. It's almost as popular as John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But if David lived in our time, one of his 74 songs that he wrote that we have record of, this would probably be his number one hit. And we don't know, this would be downloaded on iTunes and everybody would have a copy of this, right? He'd be doing harp, concerts to stadiums, filled out stadiums, right? David wrote this psalm, and it is probably the one, you guys are not going to laugh at anything today because I'm not going to be funny. If you're not going to, I'll just laugh inside, keep it to myself, all right? David wrote this psalm, and it is our favorite. Now, we don't know if it's the favorite one that was in the Bible time. We don't know if the Hebrew people listen to this as, oh, Psalm 23, yes. But we do know that it's one that has 3,000 years has stuck with us and still brings emotion to all of us. And as I was studying this week, I'm going, I wonder why David wrote this psalm. You know, behind every song, there's this heart, this passion, this movement in a writer's soul that just says, okay, here's what I'm going to write about. Maybe David was just reminiscing in his life. David, if you go to 1 Samuel, when he was anointed king, where did the prophet find him? He was out tending sheep. He was a shepherd. He had shepherd stories. He knew the shepherd life, and he knew about sheep. And maybe he was just reminiscing one day about the fields near Bethlehem, and he was inspired to write this song about the Lord being a shepherd. Maybe he wrote it this way because he also wrote Psalm 22, and Psalm 22 describes life sometimes. The very first line of Psalm 22 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? And two times in the song, he says, be not far from me, and be not far from me. Again and again, he's saying, Lord, you seem so far. Maybe David wrote Psalm 23 because we need a shepherd. Because sometimes God feels far away and you have to remind yourself, hey, I'm a sheep and he's a shepherd and everything's going to be cool. Maybe that's why he wrote this song. We'll study this song later as we look at the life and the words of Jesus on the cross because he quoted this psalm, Psalm 22 from the cross. Maybe he wrote Psalm 23 because you and I are so much like sheep. Whether you like this or not, because they're kind of smelly and they're kind of slow and they're kind of heads down kind of, you know, animals, God describes me and you as sheep. In Psalm 95:7, it says that he is our God and we are his people of his pasture, the flock under his care. The prophet Isaiah says from Isaiah 53:6, another verse we all know, that we all like sheep have gone astray. I just got back with 40 people from a tour of Greece and Turkey, the Bible locations of the Apostle Paul. And guess what? You get off the bus and say, hey, we're going this way, and follow that leader over there. And before you know it, sheep are everywhere. They're taking their own pictures or stopping to buy souvenirs. We all, like sheep, go astray from time to time, right? And then there's this passage that I really always find really interesting from Jesus' perspective. It says at one point in his ministry, he looks at the people and he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And if we truthfully look at our lives today, we can kind of look at our spiritual selves and go, you know, if one of three things are true about us, we're either wandering off on our own, or we're harassed by the stuff that's going on in life, or we're helpless against the things that are happening in our life. Maybe all of these things came together to make David write Psalm 23. We don't know. All we do know is that 3,000 years after he wrote this song, we still sing it, we still recreate it with the choir, we still read it, and it still moves us. So prepare today to hear this psalm in a different way. The Word of God, this psalm that David wrote, perhaps Jesus sang. Here it is, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. God, thank you for a chance just to open your word today, be reminded of who you are in our lives and how you guide us, how you protect us. And I'm sure that there are some very sheep-like people here today who are lost. And I'm sure that there are sheep-like people here today who are wandering or who are harassed, who are helpless. I pray that you help us to hear this passage and this verse, not in a poetic way, but in a real life way. You speak to us by your Spirit. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Well, today this is a really simple sermon. We're gonna talk about sheep and shepherds. And whatever David was thinking when he first wrote this, he just comes up with this analogy. I'm a sheep, and the Lord's my shepherd. And I'm hoping that I'll stay awake through this whole thing because I'm in some different time zone. I don't really know where I'm at. I think it's later in Athens at this point right now. And it's really poor form to fall asleep during the pastor's sermon, but it's really poor form for the pastor to fall asleep during his sermon, right? So I'm going to try to stay awake the best that I can. But here's the thing that I really need you to tune into today. Where are you in your sheep world? What's your sheepness today? Are you wandering? Are you lost? If you're visiting today, you don't have a Savior named Jesus and you're not following him, are you lost? Or are you here today and you're just kind of harassed? You just kind of feel helpless and overwhelmed? Whatever it is, whatever your condition, you can take comfort like David and like all the thousands and millions of people that have sung it in the last 3,000 years from these words, "The Lord is my shepherd." I've given you there in your e-news notes, there I left some blanks for you to take down some sheep wisdom. I'm going to give you three pieces of sheep wisdom today. You got to be very careful when you say the word sheep in a sermon. I've been stuttering through this all week long, so pray for me. I got three blanks there for you because I'm going to give you three sheep truths that you can walk away with and you can take it right into Monday morning. And so let's just jump right in. Like a shepherd, the Lord leads me twice in this passage. He says in verse 2, he leads me beside still waters. Verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. Job number one of the shepherd and one of the main needs of the sheep is that someone will guide them. In fact, it works out this way. Until the shepherd moves, nobody moves. When the shepherd moves, when the shepherd leads on, then the sheep, it's time for them to, it's like the shepherd says, okay, it's time to move somewhere else. And he says to the sheep, off we go. Here we go. It's time for us to leave now. And he takes off, and they follow him. The sheep don't move unless the shepherd leads. And so that's the way it should be in our life. And David writes about how does the shepherd guide us? How does he guide us in our lives? Well, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And a lot of shepherd people have done a lot of things creatively with this passage. I'm not going to get too deep into it. Here's what I just want to say. The shepherd takes care of the physical needs of the sheep. Sheep need water. Sheep need grass. Whether they're eating it or whether they're lying down in it, fresh green grass is the best thing for sheep. And so the shepherd is always looking for what's best for the sheep. I just want to encourage you this morning, as a sheep, as sheeps, make sure that you don't overlook how the Lord takes care of your basic needs. That you breathe today, that you've eaten today, that there's coffee today, that you're wearing clothes today. That he is taking care of your needs. Don't overlook that because it's part of what a shepherd does. But not only is he concerned with your physical needs, but he's concerned, as David kind of twists this into the spiritual realm, he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. One of the cool things I've got to experience, and I experienced it again this week in Greece, in Turkey. And I've seen this in Morocco, in the mountains, in the Atlas Mountains. I've seen this in Bethlehem, south of Jerusalem. Real shepherds, not Christmas pageant shepherds with towels on their heads, real shepherds leading real sheep. And one of the things you'll notice if you're out in the deserty regions or the mountain regions, you'll notice that there are worn paths. There are paths that go somewhere. This word is the word that David uses here in this passage. He leads me in paths of righteousness. The word means literally a path or an entrenchment. And I asked a shepherd one time when we were in Turkey, I'm like, why the warning? He goes, that's the way that the shepherd always leads the sheep. It's the way to go to the next watering hole. It's the way to go to the next field. And they always use that path. It's the safest. It's the least treacherous. It's the place that you have to go. God leads us in paths of righteousness. There is a path that's right. There is a path that's the right way to go. I know that doesn't make sense in this culture that we live in that says, hey, there's the mountain. Go any way you want. But the reality is there's a path that's best for us, and the shepherd leads the sheep through those paths to righteousness. And it's there that we get our souls restored. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Now, I'm not going to dwell on this a whole lot, but here's the deal. Here's what you need to know today. If you're listening to this sermon, is that if you want to have a soul that is refreshed, this word literally means shuv. Sometimes it's translated to repent. It literally means to return, to redo, to restart. If you want your soul restarted, here's the best thing to do. Get right behind the shepherd and follow his paths, where he takes care of your physical needs, but more importantly, your spiritual needs. And then you'll be able to say along with David as he sang this song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you're here today and you want something, then you need to check and see if the Lord's your shepherd. Because the truth is, when the Lord's our shepherd, this word literally means that we don't have any desire for anything else. We're not lacking. We're without nothing. Here's the sheep wisdom, if you're ready to write this down. If you cannot see the shepherd ahead of you, you are dangerously lost. That's sheep wisdom number one. If you cannot see the shepherd ahead of you, you are dangerously lost. We said this earlier, that we are a church of Christ followers around here. Jesus says simply, this is Jesus' whole command to us, follow me. Jesus didn't say, get all the rules right, memorize the New Testament, go through all these motions of religious actions and do all the things that will make me happy. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says one simple command to all of us who are following him, follow me. We are a church of Christ followers. That's why we try to make as few rules as possible. We try to come up with as few policies as possible. Why? Because it's this simple. There's Jesus. I'm following him. That's what Christianity is. That's what the word disciple means. And that's what Jesus asked all of his followers to do. Just follow. And yet still, sometimes as Christians, we choose to wander, don't we? We're very aware of the song that we sang this morning a little bit earlier. It's like we planned this stuff or something. That we are prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. I'm prone to leave the one I love. It's because we're sheep. Very sheepish of us to do that. All right? And still we Christians wander off. And so we look at sometimes our marriages, even in the church, and our marriages are not being led by the shepherd. And maybe we're in business, and our business is not being led by the shepherd. Maybe we have money, and our financial decisions are not led by the shepherd. Maybe we have relationship issues, and our relationships are not led by the shepherd. Maybe you have goals. Anybody have goals? You want to accomplish something in life? Is that led by the shepherd? Because I promise you, whatever path you're on, if you're not following the shepherd, you are dangerously lost. You are dangerously lost. Because what happens to shepherds when they get lost, or sheep when they get lost? They wander off, they're alone, they could fall off a cliff, they could get in some kind of trouble, or worse, they could be prey to a predator. That's what happens to lost sheep. It's real simple for David. David says, you know what? And by the way, the background for this very well could be that David is running for his life. We'll get to that in just a moment. David says, here's the only thing I need to focus on. Where is the shepherd going? Where is the shepherd going today in your life, in your finances, in your marriage, in your workplace, in your classroom? The Lord is leading you. He wants to lead you. And I promise you this, if you follow him, everything in your life will work out way better than if you wander off on your own. So if you're a guest of ours today and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I just got to say this to you. I just got to invite you to follow the shepherd. Because we get it. If you're not a Jesus follower today, I get it. I like to do things my own way, and I think I'm smarter than God sometimes. But I can prove over and over again how wrong that is. in my life. If you're today wandering from relationship to relationship, wandering from thrill to thrill, wandering from project to project or accomplishment to accomplishment, then you need a shepherd. You need Jesus Christ to come into your life. If you can't see the shepherd ahead of you, you are dangerously lost eternally. And we'd love to have you join our merry band of sheep following the shepherd. Well, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, like a shepherd, the Lord leads me. But then in verse 4, he says, like a shepherd, the Lord's always with me. He's always with me. And he just jumps right into it there in verse 4. He shifts gears. The Lord is with me. The Lord leads me by still waters. He restores my soul. It's green pastures. If you'd have stopped it right there, you go, that's a happy song. Sheep are always happy. But you get to verse 4 and there's this shift. Suddenly we're in the valley of the shadow of death. Literally, the Hebrew translation there is the valley of deep darkness. And most scholars believe that it's a metaphor for death and fear. Those scary kinds of things. The reality is that in every sheep life, there are valleys. Again, if you could go south of Jerusalem, get into Bethlehem area, and even south further into Judea, you would find nothing but a really deserty, mountainous area where there are a lot of all kinds of washed out rivers and wadis and little canyons here and there, and they're really steep, and some of them are very narrow. Now, just put your mind, put yourself into the sheep's wool, I suppose, and try to see what that looks like. You're going through this narrow valley, and it's very dark. Your head is down. The only thing you see is the butt of the sheep in front of you, right? And it's dark in there, and it's scary. If you put yourself into the sheep's skin, then you know it's very, very scary, and they're timid animals. And David spent lots of time in these very same canyons as one of those sheep. Because if you know the story, he was first fleeing for his life for the first 7 years of him being the king of the people of Israel. He was fleeing for his life from Saul. There were many times where he ran through those nooks and crannies, where he ran through those crevices, where he got down to En Gedi and he was hiding in caves. It was very dark and it was very scary. And so he understands what it's like to be a sheep in the middle of scary things. But what kept him going, and maybe I like to think that he was in a cave when he wrote this song, that Saul was camped somewhere chasing him around when he wrote this song. And David's reminding himself and reminding us this morning, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because you're with me. See, here's something I need to remind you of today for your life and David's life, and that is of the shepherd's perspective. The shepherd's not scared. Sheep are scared. Sheep don't know why we're going through this canyon. They don't know why we're wandering through this dried out riverbed. They don't know where we're going. All they know is there's a shepherd in front and we always follow his voice, and so we're going with him. The shepherd is not afraid. The shepherd is likely taking a shortcut from one field to another field, and he knows on the other side of that valley is something good for his sheep, and he's leading them through it. Sometimes I believe that our Lord takes us intentionally or allows us to go through valleys in our life because he knows on the other end it's going to be better. The shepherd is never afraid. That's why David mentions his instruments. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod is kind of a billy club that the shepherd would carry around for beating such things up as wolves and lions, anything that would attack the sheep. He's ready to defend it to the death with this rod. And then the staff is an instrument used for guiding the sheep. The sheep is going, you know what gives me comfort when we're walking through these valleys of the shadow of death is I know there's the shepherd. He's got a rod. He's going to beat up anything that's going to hurt me. He's got a staff. He's going to guide me. And you and I are the same in our lives. So I'll fear no evil. Jesus makes this same promise to us in Matthew 28:20. He says, lo, I am with you always. Here's how you get through the valleys of the shadow of death in your life. Is Jesus is with you. The shepherd is with us. Here's sheep wisdom number 2. When life is scary, focus on the presence of the shepherd. When life is scary, focus on the presence of the shepherd. See, we spend so much time focusing on the fearful things, the scary things in our life. And we are a fearless church of Christ followers. That's what we're praying. That's what we're trying to become. We want to be fearless. But that doesn't mean that our lives are not scary. And again, if you're visiting the day and you watch us sing songs and you're going to walk away thinking, oh, those happy people with all their perfect lives, you've got us all wrong. Okay? Our lives are not perfect. Our lives are a colossal mess. And we're going through some of the same valleys as you are. Cancer is literally a valley of the shadow of death that many of us in here are experiencing right now, or friends of ours are experiencing right now. Maybe it's some other illness that is a shadow of death in your life. Maybe being single when you want to be married is your valley, and you can't see the way out. Maybe being older and getting older and losing your health and being in retirement and losing friends, maybe that's your valley this morning. Maybe your valley is you're stuck in a nowhere job in Normal, Illinois, and it just feels like a deep canyon to you. Maybe your family issues, your valley today. Maybe you're dealing with depression. Maybe you failed at something. Maybe you didn't get the promotion or you lost your job. Maybe you're raising a child with autism and it feels like a valley that you just can't see your way through. Or maybe some of you are dealing with the canyon walls of moral failure. And you've just let God down one too many times in your book and you go, this is too dark and too narrow and I can't get through it. Well, you know what? Here's what I want to say to you today. Don't focus on the fear. Don't focus on the darkness. Don't focus on the valley. Focus on the shepherd, because the shepherd has always got it under control. He knows where you're going, and he's able to defend anything that comes against you, and he's able to guide you to where he wants you to go. He's the shepherd, and he's not afraid. The shepherd doesn't walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear anything, because the shepherd is not afraid. So if you're here today and you're visiting, I don't want you to see the fearless on our t-shirts as strong. Read the fearless on our t-shirts as dependent on the shepherd. Because here's what we believe about our lives. They might be messy and they may not go perfectly, but we have a shepherd who will protect us and guide us. And he's not afraid. Just think about this week. You think about God being afraid. You think about God going, oh no, what am I going to do now? Up in heaven, angels, oh, this is bad. The whole universe is messed up. Look at this. Look at what these guys are doing. How am I going to overcome that? There's never a time where God is afraid. It's not one of his emotions. It's not one of the things he experiences. He's never afraid. There's nothing so big that he goes, oh no, here we go. Even when it comes to your sin and death, there's nothing bigger than God. It's one of those favorite stories of mine. Jesus literally with his disciples in the boat. Right, and the big storm comes up. And these are rugged, burly fishermen. And the Bible says that they cried out for their lives. They woke the Savior. Jesus was sleeping. They woke him up and said, get up, don't you care, we're going to drown. Screaming. Sometimes you have to put your own sound effects in the Bible. I do. And he says to them, you of little faith. Why does he say, why does he ask him, why are you afraid? Not because the storm's not big, but because I'm in the boat. What do you think's going to happen in this boat? I'm in it. I made all this. Wind and waves, be quiet. And they did. And our valleys are that way. I know that there's some valleys that hurt. And there's valleys that are scary. And there are valleys that are lonely. But when you get there, focus on the shepherd. Because he's bigger than your valley. Which leads us to this last thing. With the Lord as my shepherd, I'm blessed. In between verses 4 and 5, he does what the Apostle Paul does, David does in this psalm. He kind of switches metaphors. He goes from shepherd talk to table talk. See that? There's a subtle shift here in the metaphor of the psalm. From shepherd to table. And I think the shepherd imagery continues. What he's just saying is, David's saying, this is my reality. Since I have a shepherd, this is my reality. I'm blessed. And he lists some of the things that come from being blessed as a sheep when you have a shepherd like our Lord. And first of all, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What an incredible, incredible, great line, because you know in the Bible times and the ancient times, to host somebody at your table was a sign of fellowship and love. And when I invite you to a meal, we're together. I would do anything for you. You're my guest. But what about when you're surrounded by enemies? How do you eat then? David says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In fact, David did in his lifetime actually eat at King Saul's table when Saul was plotting to kill him. Pass the salt and pass that bread over there, and please don't throw another spear at me, right? That's David. He's literally eating an intimate interaction with his enemy. What he's saying is when God is my shepherd, that God takes care of my needs in the middle of enemy territory. And that's something you and I can rely on as well. We live in a world that is controlled by Satan, not controlled in the sense that God's afraid of it or God can't step in at any moment, but God's released Satan to have this place to do his tempting and his hurting. But you know what? In the middle of it, we've already done it this morning. We come to the table. The king says, come eat. In the middle of your enemy warfare, in the middle of enemy territory, when you think that it's too much has gone by and I can't save you and I can't protect you, let's just eat a meal together that reminds you that I love you. So we celebrated earlier that in the midst of all of it, we still eat at the king's table. We're invited to it. And then he goes on, he says, you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. By the way, I love this scene at the table. These two things that happened in the ancient times at mealtime, if you really wanted to bless somebody when they came in, you would anoint their head with oil. It was a symbol of respect and deep love for them. You kind of cleansing them and washing them. I get this image, you hear, my cup overflows. You see that? I love this. This is not like the stingy pour, right? This is not like I have a little bit of Coke for you. No, this is like all the way bubbling over. You know how that Coke does, right? That's this imagery. That's where I go. And my cup overflows. It's like the master going, hey, as much as you want, as much as you want. I honor you by anointing with oil as much as you want. You're at my king's table. You're welcome, even in the midst of enemy territory. And then in verse 6, he says, because the Lord is my shepherd, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. An old Sunday school joke growing up that I can't resist now. About a little kid heard this poem and he kind of quoted this after the name of his teacher. Surely good Miss Murphy will follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's really a cool word that he uses here. It's a word that David could relate to, the word radaf in the Hebrew language. It means to follow as it's translated here, but it's a more intense follow. It's a following with a passion and with speed. It's the kind of follow that an army does to another army when they've routed them and they're chasing them down. It's the kind of follow when you're pursuing someone that you want to take out in David's ancient days. It's the kind of following that Saul was doing to David and later his son Absalom would do to David. David was always running from something or someone. That's the story of his life. He had very little time in his life where he was settled, chilling in the palace, writing songs. Most of it, he was on the run. He was being chased. He was being followed. This word sometimes is translated pursued. He was being pursued. Now look what he says. He shifts this. He says, yes, I'm being pursued by Saul. They're trying to kill me. I'm being pursued by my son Absalom trying to kill me. All my enemies trying to kill me. But here's what I'm pursued with when I have the Lord as my shepherd. Goodness and mercy pursue me. They're hot on my heels. The goodness that God desires for me, this word mercy, we've heard it before, chesed, is the loving kindness of God, this just desire of God to do good stuff for us. And David says, listen, my enemies may be gaining on me, they may be pursuing me, I may be fleeing for my life, but you know what's catching up faster than they are? The goodness and the mercy of God. But the Lord is my shepherd. The enemy's not gaining on me. The love and mercy of God are. And David then translates this into a forever. If you ever wonder if the Old Testament guys thought about forever, they do. They saw themselves living on after this life. They knew there was more to it than this. That's why David writes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A lot of people want to know what in the world he's talking about, this house of the Lord. Well, it can't be the temple because the temple wasn't built in his time. His son Solomon would build the temple. Could be a reference to the tent where he kept the Ark of the Covenant that was in Jerusalem when he carried it in there and they danced and they celebrated. But it wasn't a true house. Even David said, hey, this is not a house. I got a better house than God. We should build him one. I think David has this vision, this picture of a future house of God that's eternal, where those who follow him in this world will spend eternity with him afterwards. He knew that he wouldn't live a human existence forever, but he sees eternity for those who are shepherded by the Lord. And all those things are true for us as followers of Jesus Christ as well. Because he's at work in the midst of life's biggest challenge. We're invited to the feast in the midst of all of our struggles. Our life will be a story of being pursued by the goodness and love of God. I want you to hear that today. Whatever's breathing down your neck right now, the goodness and the mercy of God is breathing down your neck harder. He's pursuing you. And then we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love the picture in Revelation 7:17. The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes. And if you're not a believer here today, you just need to understand this. His goodness and his love are pursuing you through the love of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Well, here's sheep wisdom number 3. The only thing a sheep really needs is a good shepherd. Hope you figured that out. See, life is simple for sheep. Good shepherd, good life. Bad shepherd, no life at all. Wander off on your own, you're in big trouble. But if you have a good shepherd, if you have a shepherd that cares and a shepherd that guides you to good stuff and finds the green pastures and the still waters and one that protects you from all harm and the one that leads you through the valleys, then you have a good sheep life. And this song, maybe when David wrote this song, he was reminded, oh yeah, it's all going to turn out cool because I got a shepherd. And maybe you need to be reminded today as we study this that everything's going to turn out fine, Christian, because you have a shepherd in Jesus. Whatever it is today, all you need, you don't need him to answer your prayers the way you think you want him to answer them. What you need is to follow the shepherd. And he's good, and he'll get you where he wants you to go. And if you're a non-follower today of Jesus Christ, then listen, you just need Jesus. I just need a good shepherd. So it's really no coincidence then that Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Is it in John 10? What an aha Bible moment that is, right? When Jesus is standing there teaching the people, looking at the people, and he just looks at them and he says, I am the good shepherd. He says it twice in John 10, 11 and John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd. Why is that? Because the people he came to save, the people he came to lead, they're sheep. And I just like to think that there were times in the life of Christ where he sang this song. As a little boy, he sang the song, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in his soul, he realized, oh, that's me. I'm the good shepherd. And all the people need is a shepherd that will lead them and care for them and take care of all their problems. So no matter what's going on in your life today, all you need is the shepherd like Jesus, or like David describes here. All you need is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thanks for a chance to share your word today. Thanks for this ancient song that speaks to us new today. May it continue to teach us as we hear this song and as we let your spirit move in us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.